95.7 Ben FM Philadelphia presents Her Story, hosted by Kathy Romano. Her Story is a weekly tribute to women making a major difference in the lives of others by telling her story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Healthy Kids Running Series is having their 10th anniversary celebration on Sunday, March 19th in Media. The program encourages children to race towards a healthier lifestyle. To combat increasing rates of childhood obesity, the running program was designed to be a fun activity to help build a child's self-esteem. The director of Healthy Kids Running, Tamara Cohen, is here today to give us more information about the program. Tamara, thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. I love talking about Healthy Kids what we do in the community.
Perfect. So for people who are not familiar with Healthy Kids Running Series, tell us exactly what the program does and what you guys are about.
All right. So Healthy Kids is a national community-based nonprofit that provides a fun, inclusive five-week running series for ages 2 to 14. And it's really designed to get kids active, feel accomplished, lay the foundation for a healthy lifestyle. It's also for boys and girls, which is really nice. And it's community-based. It's kind of like Little League. You know, we consider ourselves a Little League of running. So it's so great.
I remember I heard about you guys a few years ago because I believe that one of the events or one of the runs that you do is right in my town, in Conshohocken.
Yes, we do have one there.
Okay. I had looked into it for my son, but we had missed the start date. But yeah, it's right in my neighborhood. And I remember looking, I'm like, this is so cool. My son's 7 now. And he thinks it's the greatest thing to go out running. So he'll come with me. Like if I'll go for a jog when I get back, he says, can I go running with you?
That's what's so great about this program is that it mimics like a mom and dad's race, but it's for kids. So I have an almost 20-year-old and I know just from watching her grow up, you know, how it's changed for kids and they spend less time outside, more time like on phones and laptops and all that kind of stuff. So it's so nice to have a program that's in each community that these children can go and be a part of. And it's great because it becomes a staple in that community. The families love it. They register every year.
If a family wants to get involved, how can they do that?
So we are approaching our national kickoff week, which is starting this Sunday. So if they want to register, they can go to the main website, which is healthykidsrunningseries.org, and they click on the locations tab. And they'll be able to find all the locations by state, and they can register that way. And they could register on site if they wanted as well. Registration never closes for Healthy Kids.
Oh, so you'll just take as many kids as possible.
Yes. We have one program that had 850 children in New England. Yes. That was the largest first series ever.
Where are the programs? I know that there is one at Sutcliffe Park in Conshohocken. Where are the other towns?
We have quite a few. There's over 80 in this area.
Okay.
The best option would be to go to the main website, type in your zip code, or click on Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, you know, that type of thing, and then look that way because there's just so many.
And what exactly happens then at the race? Is it just a race? Is it a camp? How long is it?
So,
what can the kids expect?
That's a good question. A lot of people don't understand what the format of the race itself is. It's 5 weeks in length. It's the same time, the same place for all 5 weeks. There's age-appropriate distances. We have the 50-yard dash, the 75-yard dash, the quarter mile, the half a mile, and the full mile, depending on what age they are. And they run the same race every week. So the whole idea is when they come, it's supposed to be like a festival. There's music and excitement and lots of cheering. They run the same race every week. The fifth week is our awards week, and it's kind of like a mom and dad race where they each get a medal when they cross the finish line, and then there's trophies. You know, there's a point system as well. The top three winners or the top winner, depending on the participation numbers for each program. So it's great. The sponsors get involved. Each child gets, for the full series registrants, will get a runner shirt, which is redesigned every season, and they'll get a race bag. Then there's a single race option, which you can do as well.
Okay, so they don't have to come for the whole 5 weeks if they don't want
to? They don't have to. So a full series registration is $35, which gets them the race bag, five bibs, the runner's shirt. Or they can register for one day, which is $10. But if they fall in love with it, like, why would they not? They can come back and, you know, run the remaining 4 weeks.
And you say they wear the bibs, so are you timing them as well?
The pre-K races are not timed. It's the quarter mile and up that are timed. So it's great. They can go on the main website. They click on the results tab. They get to see their times. And it's a great way for these kids to be able to see the accomplishment and the effort that they put forth for the 5 weeks.
What are the ages you're seeing in that mile run?
So our mile run is 4th to 8th grade, which is great because with physical education in the school system, they're also preparing for the 1 mile. So it's a great way for these kids to come out, practice it, learn a little bit about it in, you know, a non-competitive setting and really work towards that. And we have some kids that walk the whole thing. We have some kids that run it. I mean, the whole idea is that we're getting them outside and active. There is that competitive feel to it as well, but we have a lot of kids that, you know, do either or. We just want to see the kids get to the finish line and smile when they're there and be happy. So
and have fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Now you're having your 10th anniversary, which is coming up. Tell me what the festivities are going to look like and how people can get involved.
Our 10-year anniversary is in 2019, and we're celebrating it with a regional event, which will take place May 19th at Rose Tree Media Park from 1 to 4. And they can register by going to the main website as well and clicking on the 10 Fest tab. It's a one-day event, which is going to be fantastic. It's like a festival. There's going to be vendors and balloon artists and face painting and music. But it's a chance for all of these children to run against children from other towns, which is really neat. So there'll be activities for even those within the family that are not running. We also have a parents' mile. I didn't tell you about that part. So on the 5th week, we do a role reversal where the kids have to watch the parents run the 1 mile. Some parents are happy to do it. Others are just like, all right, I want to set a role model, you know, be a role model for my kids and try it out. So we'll have that opportunity too at the 10 Fest event.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
You were the Healthy Kids Running first full-time employee. So you've seen this organization grow to what it is today.
Yeah. So I came in 2013. At that point, it was Scott Ely, who was the vice president of Pattison Sports Group, and Jeff Long, who's the founder and president of Pattison Sports Group. They were doing the program, but they needed someone that solely was just Healthy Kids to, you know, monitor it, help it to grow, that type of thing. So that's where I came in at that point. We had 18 locations, roughly like 1,700 kids. And then we've been growing ever since. It's been fantastic to be a part of it and watch the growth that has happened over time.
So when you started, there were 18 locations. Now there's 80?
No, now we have over 200.
Oh, over 200. Oh, my
gosh. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're looking at like 60, 65,000 kids this year. I mean, really, we want one in every single community.
Well, and there are a lot because I did look for the information on the website and I'm going to sign my son up. I think he would really enjoy this.
He really would enjoy it. Yeah. And in here that I brought you, I know the listeners can't see this, obviously, but there's a finisher's medal in here, which is so great. The kids love it.
They love it.
It's like a collector's item and they have like a medal hanger that they can hang them all on, you know, and yeah, just like mom and dad, which is so great. Yeah.
And are you guys on social media as well?
Yep. Facebook, Healthy Kids Running Series. And we are on Instagram, Healthy Kids RS.
HealthyKidsRunningSeries.org for all the information.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
My next guest is the Chief Impact Officer at Philabundance and is heading a new expansion of the organization called Ending Hunger for Good. Milani Cataldi is here today to give us all the details about this ambitious program. Milani, thanks for coming by.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm not sure there is anyone in Philadelphia that hasn't heard of Philabundance, but in case there is, give us a little information about the nonprofit.
It's a great organization. I've been with them for about 20 years. Philabundance is 35 years old, and in those 35 years, we serve 9 counties. We help to feed people who otherwise wouldn't have enough to eat. And we do that through an agency network of food cupboards, emergency kitchens, shelters, and the like. So we help to feed about 90,000 people a week in those 9 counties.
It's wonderful. And there are sort of sub-programs within the nonprofit. Is that the best way to explain it?
That's right. So we really focus on healthy food. We distribute a lot of perishable items, especially produce. We have programs that target seniors. We have programs that target families and those that target kids. So we're really trying to get the food and the right food to the people that need it when they need it.
You are now working on this program called Ending Hunger for Good. Tell me a little bit about that. And yeah, this is brand new.
It's brand new. We just announced it. And actually, before I tell you about it, I'd like to tell you why. So even though we help to feed 90,000 people a week in the 9 counties that we serve in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, there are more, Kathy, like 700,000 people in those 9 counties that need help with food.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. About a third of the people that we help feed are children. And we know that food really impacts health, especially kids when they're developing who are not getting the right food to eat. And when you look at this country, we're one of the richest countries in the world, and yet we have some of the worst health outcomes of any affluent nation around. And so we know that food has a lot to do with that. And Philabundance really wants to take some of our food and use it more strategically so that we're helping to get people out of line, right? So we're going to feed them while they're in the line, but we want to help get them out of line so that they no longer need our services in the future. So what Philabundance is doing is we are going to take some of our food and partner with healthcare, hospitals, clinics, schools, could be a high school, younger school, colleges and universities, workforce development and job training programs, and financial literacy programs and housing programs. So what we call the other social determinants of health, because we know that hunger doesn't happen in a silo. The folks that we're helping to feed are almost never just hungry without any other challenges. And so what we want to do is take some of our food and partner with other organizations so that together we can help get people out of the line so that they no longer need to visit a food pantry to get food.
So you're not just feeding them that day. You want to feed them, but also help them move on, move past this, and be able to have a life where they don't have to come back to the food pantry.
That's right. That's right. Think about it. If there are 700,000 people that need help with food, and we're helping to feed 90,000 people a week, it's not likely that we can get 8 or 9 times the amount of food to feed people. And even if we did, we'd have to do it again next year. So the current model isn't working. And so what we want to do is more programs like our Philabundance Community Kitchen, which we've been running for 20 years, where we not only help to feed the community with meals, but we also train folks in culinary arts and life skills and job readiness skills. And then we help employ them. And then we follow them for a minimum of 2 years to make sure that they stay employed. So with that program, we have a starting wage of about $11.50 an hour, and over 75% get employed and are still employed 2 years out. That's not just feeding people. That's actually helping people to not need our services.
The organization just launched a pilot. Tell me about that.
That's right. So we're partnering with Habitat for Humanity, out in Montgomery and Delaware counties, and another organization called the Pottstown Cluster of Religious Communities. And what we're doing is partnering food with housing and financial literacy education, and then coaching. So we're just wrapping up a 6-week course where Philabundance is providing the food, and where folks were educated 2 nights a week for 6 weeks on financial literacy. So how to get a checking or savings account, how to manage debt, how to pay off credit cards, and how to keep a little bit of money in savings so that when they have a financial shock, like their car breaks down or a home repair, that they can weather that shock, keep their job, and keep food on the table. So the course did some financial literacy training. And then when folks graduate, they get a coach and a case manager for a minimum of 6 months to make sure that they can implement the plan that they learned how to build during that 6-week course. And then we'll stick with them and make sure they've got enough food. And we're looking for 12 to 24 months out for people to be more financially stable and therefore not need the pantry that they once relied on.
To be honest with you, I didn't know that you guys did all of this. The fact that you guys are doing all of this to help end hunger really says a lot, because it's needed. Like you said earlier, you can't just put food in front of them and then expect them to go about their life perfectly fine. Sometimes people need additional help and additional guidance.
That's right. I mean, 1 in 8 Americans is hungry. It's 1 in 5 in Philadelphia. We know that Philadelphia is the largest, poorest big city in the country. And so it's time that we start to do things differently and help people not need our services any longer.
How much have you grown in 20 years? I mean, I know obviously it's going to be a significant amount, but even from what I remember starting to work with you guys years ago, I feel like the organization was so much smaller at that time.
It was. When I started 20 years ago, we had about 40 employees and we probably distributed 8 or 9 million pounds of food. And last year, Philabundance distributed over 26 million pounds of food to our communities.
Wow.
So we've really grown a lot. We have two warehouses. But as much as we grow, it's not solving the problem. We need to do something a little differently. It's important to say we're not going to stop doing what we do so well. So Philabundance helps to collect donated food and distribute it to people in need. We're still going to do that. This isn't replacing our mission. It's expanding our mission.
Right. Okay. I understand that. So speaking of collecting the food, I take part in the Preston and Steve Camp Out for Hunger with WMMR every year. And I know during that time, when all of that food is donated to Philabundance, it does get taken to your warehouses and you look for volunteers to help sort through that food. We're past that time now. We're in April. What type of volunteer work are you looking for now?
Well, we actually need help still sorting food a little bit, but it's not so much the dry, stable food that you guys help us collect, which is so important. Now it's coming into produce season, so a lot of what we need help with is sorting produce. A lot of times we'll get cases or pallets of produce donated where just a little bit of it is bad, and we need to sort that out and then get the good, healthy produce out to the community.
Okay.
We also actually are looking for volunteers to help with some of our agencies. So when we ship a pallet of produce to our agencies, they need volunteers on the other end to help receive it, distribute it, get it out to those in need.
When we do the Camp Out for Hunger, the question that I get the most is, what do they need? So what is it exactly, if someone wants to donate food to you guys, what is it that you need?
The best thing for folks to do if they're going to donate food is to give us canned healthy food. So healthy meals in a can, protein like peanut butter or tuna fish, staples that a household might need like pasta or pasta sauce, things like that. But frankly, Kathy, we could actually, if people give us money, buy more than people can if they go to the grocery store. So if somebody gives us $25, we can go get double the amount of food that they can if they go spend $25.
Okay. So if they want to donate, whether it be money or food, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can go to our website, which is www.philabundance.org. And there is a place on the website to donate either money or to make accommodations to donate food.
Great. Well, Milani, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. We're so grateful to everything that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for all you do. Don't forget, if you'd like more information about Philabundance, you can go to philabundance.org. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this was helpful. We were all about health today. First, we talked about getting kids out active and running, and then we talked about feeding people who may need a little extra help. You can find the podcast of this show and all of the Her Story episodes on 957benfm.com. There is a Her Story link right on the front page. You click that, and then you can scroll through all of the episodes to find what you're looking for. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.